He's really good at science.
Science!
And also at biology.
I'm ever so thrilled to be here.
He'll answer all your questions.
He'll answer all your questions.
Dr. Carl with Danny Lake.
Yeah, Dr. Carl for Science Wednesdays. Good evening, Dr. Carl.
Dr. Danny, lovely to be with you again.
Well, I can't help but notice, just as an eagle-eyed observer, that humans and birds are slightly different. One of the big differences being the colour of our faeces. Why is bird poo white?
Ah, it's related to getting rid of nitrogen. So if you live in the ocean like a fish, you'll just simply dump the nitrogen by marrying the nitrogen to three atoms of hydrogen, creating the chemical called ammonia, moderately toxic, but the water dilutes it and other creatures can eat it. So that if you're a fish, you get rid of your nitrogen by getting rid of it and ammonia. But if you're a human and there's a moderate amount of water around, you'll get rid of the nitrogen in a chemical called urea, which is moderately water-soluble. Bit of a problem if you urinate on the garden on the same spot too much. You might kill it, but it's okay in reasonable amounts. Yeah. And then finally, if the water is scarce or the animal doesn't want to carry it around, or like a bird, they'll turn the nitrogen into uric acid, which is not soluble in water. It's in fact a little white solid. Now, it turns out that in the bird, they've got one opening, as we call it, for urine and feces. It's called a cloaca, which in fact does everything for excretion and urination and egg laying and mating. So bird droppings are mainly feces with a bit of uric acid on top. The feces come out first. And so if you look at your basic chook in the backyard, you'll see this sort of off-white fibrous mass copped with a cap with a dollop of white uric acid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I live in a mini estate and there's plenty of green bird droppings around as well. But that's pretty cool. It's all coming out of the same hole. Probably no UTIs for those birds as well. And then what if someone gets shat on by a bird? You could almost, but oh, don't worry, it's not all poo. There's a little bit of bird urine in there as well. See those little bits?
Oh, you're always finding the brighter side of life. You're such a happy person.
The glass is always half full with poo. For me, well, any similarities between diarrhea and gonorrhea? Because I can't help but notice that the last bits in each of those words are R-E-A-H. Is this telling us something or is it just a coincidence?
It's a root which means flow. So diarrhea is a flow of feces. Gonorrhea, I don't know what gono means, but it is an infection often of the genitals and can be very nasty. Luckily, antibiotics can kill it very well. But on the other hand, we've got the situation where the bacteria are getting resistance to the antibiotics and it's not really financially worth a lot of money for the pharmaceutical companies to make and invest in new antibiotics. It takes them 15 to 20 years to get them down the pipeline and probably costs, you know, $1 billion. And they've only got a 20-year window to get their money back. So there needs to be some government intervention to make sure we keep on coming up with new antibiotics. But another pathway that completely bypasses antibiotics as a way of killing bacteria, using viruses.
Oh.
Yeah. So viruses kill bacteria. They're called a bacteriophage. If you want to find out more about it, go and type into your search engine ABC, Dr. Carl, and bacteriophage, B-A-C-T-E-R-I-O-P-H-A-G-E.
Well, yeah, I'll be Googling it. Wish I did it yesterday. I have an idea. When the whole of human civilization moves to Mars, maybe into some sort of more zero-gravity environment, I will be the first man to open a swimming pool in space. What can my customers expect when swimming laps of the pool? Will it be easier? Will they sink quicker? Will they float more? Can they swim faster or slower? The effects of zero gravity swimming pools.
It could be tricky because there's no tendency for you to pop to the surface where the air is. So if you're swimming in a pool in space, you could get trapped inside the bubble and have difficulty in getting out where the air is. So this could be potentially risky, but then on the other hand, you're a crazy, thrill-crazed youth after all, trying to get new enjoyment out of life. Mm. And I reckon you could convince the people to pay money to nearly die.
Yeah, I reckon. I'm hearing you loud and clear. Just a couple of extra pool noodles, a few more extra lifeguards on shift. Shouldn't be a problem whatsoever. I'm speaking at a moderate level right now. Not too loud, not too quiet. Can something be so loud that we couldn't even hear it if it happened?
Yes, once the sound level gets over about 160 dB, it'd pretty well destroy your hearing instantly. You'd have a brief instant, ever so brief, where you're thinking, gosh, that, and then you think, I can't hear anything because you are now deaf. pretty well forever. It would have destroyed the conduction pathway, the bones, etc., and then you'd be pretty well deaf for a very long time, unless they get genetic engineering and can grow all your hearing apparatus back from scratch again.
Do those things happen, like, on a daily basis around the world, explosions or anything that could actually realistically happen like that?
Explosions are very nasty, and when I was in Afghanistan with the Australian troops on an entertainment tour, one of the soldiers told me of the bizarre experience of seeing a red mist and realizing that that was used to be some humans a few seconds earlier. So the explosions can get you up to about 140 dB. 160, you're really pushing it to get to 160.
Not much chance. Not like if I accidentally left the volume up or my headphones in the studio and all of a sudden Green Day blasts through.
And sorry to bring the vibe down, man.
No,
sorry.
No, no, it's time for me to inflate it back up. Someone get the bicycle pump, boys. Bring in the bicycle pump. I was watching Seinfeld last night on Netflix, and one of the episodes is the Junior Mint episode. This is where Jerry and Kramer are watching some open heart surgery or something along those lines, that the person's open, and then Kramer drops a mint and it lands inside the person's body, and then they sew him back up because they don't realize that he's got a peppermint in his body. What if a peppermint fell into someone's body during surgery? Would that be catastrophic, or it would just dissolve?
Depends on what chemicals are in there. The main chemical in mint is a menthol-based chemical, which accidentally triggers the same receptors that are used in your body for sensing cold. Now, you don't normally sense cold, you don't have sensors for cold inside your body. So the important thing is, how biodegradable is it? And you'd want very biodegradable. You wouldn't want stuff left inside the body because that can get messy, infections, antibiotics, etc. Won't bring the vibe down, man. Not going to do it this time.
No, don't go down a rabbit hole of what would happen if someone left a fisherman's friend inside them. Oh, God, you'd never get that one out. Oh, that's not very biodegradable. Tic Tac, however, may be doable. Why do women hit puberty earlier than men? I remember being in grade 7 looking at all the girls grow up around me feeling like a small insignificant boy, but my time came eventually. It came eventually.
We've worked out that the reason, what we've found is that in Europe, and by the way, in female people, it's easy to have a mark of you hit puberty on this day, which is the period of the first menstrual cycle.
Oh, yeah.
Whereas in boys, it's kind of fuzzy, you know, your armpit hair, this was your primary or secondary sexual characteristics, but in females it's easy. And what we've found since from between 1840 and 1950, that's 110 years, that as each decade in Europe went past, females would hit their first menstrual cycle 4 months earlier with each passing decade. We kind of think it's mostly due to improved nutrition. So if you follow that pathway along, the female people who hit puberty earliest on planet Earth are certain African females, but and the ones who hit it latest are undernourished females living at altitudes. So they're sort of like your two extremes. So it's mostly due to nutrition, but there's also some factor relating to external female type hormones in the environment, either naturally or from foods or from chemicals such as associated with the plastic called BPA. And then a third possible cause is related to a gene called MC3R, which is part of a complicated pathway. And there are mutations in that that can mean earlier or later, but overwhelmingly we think it's just simply nutrition.
I much prefer puberty chat with Dr. Carl as opposed to when I was growing up with my mum. She didn't really know how to talk about all these things. And I remember like coming home from school one day a little bit confused. My mum, someone said that women have periods. How will I know when I'm becoming a man? She's like, well, you'll have a sexy period one day, Daniel, aka meaning a wet dream. Never had one. Never had one. I remember being worried like all through my teens because I hadn't had a sexy period that I'd never become a man.
Well, it's interesting you said the word I was worried, because people under 25 are just, firstly, so absolutely gorgeous, and secondly, often filled with doubt and indecision. And I say to you, beautiful people under 25, go with the flow, man.
Yeah.
Enjoy life.
And I say to them as well, don't worry if you don't have a sexy period. It's completely normal anyway. Look how I turned out. Ultra Mask, a real alpha dog. Thank you, Dr. Carl. Always good to pick your brains. Of course, Dr. Carl's little book of climate change science is available in all good bookstores now, and we'll chat next Science Wednesday.
Yes, indeed, Dr. Alpha Danny.
The Danny Lakey Show Catch-Up Podcast.